Now it's the turn of Ironman talk here on Drive Time Sport. Just speaking to John Innes off here, only 4 weeks away to the big weekend, John. The countdown is well and truly on at this stage, I suppose, for people, you know, with the locality that are really looking forward to it.
Absolutely, Barry. You can see it there even in the last 3 or 4 weekends. Now the volumes of people around there on the bike route and out for a bit of a run, and anybody on the beach would have seen them all swimming there in the early hours before they go off on their bikes. So there's a palpable kind of an atmosphere starting to build. It's just the weather has arrived. Summer's here, but it looks like, hopefully it's not too early. But we take it. The water temperatures are up. It's a lovely kind of, it's between 17 and 19 degrees at the moment, which is where we want it to be. So it's all good. All systems go.
Obviously, look, we've had plenty of chat over the course of the, last couple of months. And, you know, just for anyone that's tuning in maybe for the first time, obviously, we're just going to have a quick chat once again. And we're going to talk about the swim route first.
Yeah, only last week we launched the official swim route. Now, it took us a while to get to where we are with that one. We had to do a lot of testing and checking and whatever else we do on it, you know, the due diligence. We've got an epic swim. I think I might have said it to you the last time, but I wasn't allowed to. I swore to secrecy at the time. They went live to the athletes there last week. Basically, they will enter the water at Front Strand on the promenade. They'll swim out about 70 metres perpendicular from the shoreline there, so they're out clear of the groins. Then they'll turn right and swim pretty much parallel to the shoreline all the way down to Clare Castle. They'll come close to the pipe in Clare Castle before they'll turn. And then swim back against themselves, so they're swimming back towards the yawl, in underneath the lighthouse and onto the beach at Greenhole, where they'll come out onto the hard there right beside their bikes to get ready for transition out onto the road.
Whoa, that's fantastic. That's going to be an amazing spectacle.
It's a beautiful swim. We've done it training, and we've done it as a kind of a fun swim to do over the last 2 years, both with the club and with some of my own gang, and it's a really, really epic swim, and we kind of felt that the event deserves it, and it deserves you to be in the event. It brings another whole aspect of the excellence and the brilliance and the scenery of Yawl. It adds that to the whole thing. It's not just a swim on a beach now. It's a swim on 2 blue flag beaches and then a lighthouse thrown in as well for good measure. The athletes will love it, not only for that, but it does away with what we would have had to do with them, which was a nearly a kilometre of a run from the water back to transition, which nobody would have relished, you know. So they're coming out of the water right beside their bikes. That doesn't happen in every Ironman event.
Wow, that's going to be an amazing, as I said, spectacle. It's going to be fantastic, really. Just in terms of Ironman kids' routes?
The kids' routes, basically, we were starting around the clock 8 and running north on the street there up towards... Watson's Corner, as we call it, Green's Quay, back down around and into the finish line. We've changed that slightly. We're now going to go down from Market Square, down around the Grotto. We're going to come up Mall Lane, we're going to come up Water Lane with those routes. And what that does is it means that we don't have as much of an impact on traffic at the northern end of the town. So Brown Street basically will remain open pretty much right up to Friday night. So traffic, deliveries, anybody coming in to do their shopping can still get into town, can still get to all the main supermarkets without any such issues on the lead up to the event.
Brilliant. That's going to be outstanding. And of course, in terms of signage and leaflets, there'll be a lot going on over the course of the next 2 weeks.
A lot going on in the next couple of weeks. We're meeting with the business groups and the traders next week to deliver the whole plan to them, show them what we've got and what's in store. We are the signage on the roads where there will be road closures, and if roads are affected off the road, main roads for the event, all that signage is due to go out in the next 3 to 4 days. And then there's a leaflet drop to any house that's on the route, that's affected by the route. We'll get a leaflet drop hopefully by next weekend. So that's all on the way. We'll be engaging with yourselves and CRY through all the various programs over the hours of the day. So we'll try and get contact with as many of your listeners as possible to get the word out there, because CRY have been invaluable in the past and continue to be invaluable in getting our message out there to the locals.
Yeah, look, we're certainly looking forward. Well, it's going to be a busy weekend, of course, and there'll be plenty of Ironman chat, and you know, already sorting out what we're going to be doing over the course of the 3 days. So it'll be non-stop Ironman talk here on CRY 104 FM. And just in terms of, you know, obviously when Ironman took place the last time a couple of years ago here in Youghal, the support was amazing, and I suppose just urging everyone to come out and support once again and enjoy the whole experience.
I think the big message that Ironman got from the last event was that the people you all are really, really behind it. It was a bit of a surprise to them, because not every venue they go to do the people get fully behind them. But you all came out in force in the conditions that were there on the day, which we expected nobody to come out with the conditions that were coming on the day of the event. And the whole population came out, and I think we've laughed about it before, you know. I think anybody who speaks changed their clothes at least 3 times that day. They were just drenched. But that whole buy-in by the community has driven Ironman and Cork County Council to sit down and talk about adding in the event on Saturday, you know, which even makes it a bigger and more epic event again. So you have Iron Kids on the Friday evening at 5 o'clock. You have Ironman 70.3, which is a half Ironman, which we've effectively stolen from Dublin. That's on Saturday morning, and then on Sunday you have pretty much what we had the last time. The beauty of the half is that the roads are back open out on the East Cork region pretty much by kind of 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. Last bikes will be back in Youghal by noon, and the run then just takes place on the streets of Youghal. It's confined into the streets of Youghal for the whole afternoon. So if you're in the town of Youghal, it's pretty much what you might call pedestrianised. It's going to have a little bit of cycling going on, but it's going to have an awful lot of running going on. That'll all finish up around 3, 4 o'clock on Saturday, but then on Sunday morning, bright and early, both events start at 6 o'clock in the morning, tied in with the tides and making the swim all happen properly. So 6 o'clock on both mornings is the time to be on the beach to see the spectacle of those events taking place. Incidentally, just while I'm on it, the 70.3 on Saturday, the half Ironman, the swim for that, the route is pretty much the same as it is on Sunday, but they don't go quite as far down as Staircastle before they turn, so they're going pretty much, I suppose, to the end of the Front Strand car park, where roughly they'll make their turn to come back, and then their swim does exactly the same as the one on Sunday. It goes in by the lighthouse and comes onto the beach at Greenhold.
Great stuff. Very much looking forward to it, John. And finally, I suppose before we finish up, we have to highlight the achievements of, you know, three amazing men from Youghal that participated in a recent Ironman. And we're going to go into more detail about that. But, you know, a big pool of us to Davy Murphy, Thomas Kern and Mark Cody. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, the three guys back in the spring. I think you'll remember Mark from he was very out there in the public back in January when he did a 24-hour non-stop Ironman. Ironman was probably the wrong word, I suppose. Triathlon is probably the right word. But Mark started in the early morning at about 6 o'clock, and he swam for pretty much 3 hours before he went off. Cycled for, I think, something like 12 hours and then ran the rest of the night for charity. And his name would be synonymous in that regard. The other two lads, I'd say, would be known to everybody that's in sporting circles as well locally. The three of them, I think, back in the spring, had a look and said, look, our fitness is right. You know, it's an early summer event. It's within reach, you know, it's easy to get to, easy to, I suppose the logistics are easy, you know. Austria, Ironman Austria, it's one of the bigger European events. It's very heavily subscribed. Guys, I went with them because I'm actually coaching Mark, so we went off, the four of us, there the weekend before last. We flew out on the Thursday morning, got ourselves up to the base where the event was to take place. Got our bearings, got ourselves signed in, and got ourselves climatising to the heat, because it was quite warm, like it was 29, 30 degrees at the time. But as the weekend drew on, it was becoming obvious that two things were happening. The air temperatures were only getting warmer, and so were the water temperatures in the lake. Now, the lake is not like any lake you've ever seen before. It's an amazing, it's one of those postcards, lake, you know, picture lakes, blue water. It's up in the mountains. You'd expect it to be colder, but the water temperature was actually 25.5 degrees. It was actually warm to step into it, but the consequence of that was that once it goes above 24 degrees, it's a non-wetsuit swim, so the athletes aren't allowed to wear a wetsuit. A lot of them would see that as a challenge because they lean on the wetsuit a little bit for their swim. It does make them faster. So yeah, on the Saturday it was announced that the swim was going to be non-wetsuit officially. So the guys had to swim the 3.8k without a wetsuit in the lake in fresh water. They then had to get out onto the hills where the temperatures had gone up to 33 degrees. And then when they came in off their bike, if that wasn't enough, they had to run a marathon in that heat. I was there. I was kind of looking after them on the day in as much as I could, because you're not allowed to coach them directly. But it was just, all I could say is there was no wind. It was just dead heat, and by God, was it hot, you know. They all put on a great show. I mean, they put on a super, super display. All their training paid off. It got them across the finish line in absolutely amazing times, all of them. The finish line was an absolute blow-away job. It was a stadium that was built in the park for the event, with a stage at the end of a long red carpet. So the athletes, when they're doing their last kind of kilometre, they come down in, they're steered towards the stadium, and then they run down this red carpet that just goes on and on. It turns right into a stadium where you have thousands of people all in seats waiting to welcome you home. You run up a ramp onto the stage, it's all laser lit, plasma screens, the whole lot. You get your bit of video and your photograph there as you're receiving your medal before you go off to recover and go, what have I just done? But yeah, the guys, they put in a super, super display over there. The heat was absolutely a challenge, but they made mincemeat of it.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful experience. Will all those lads line up in Ironman Youghal?
That's the plan, yeah. As far as I know, they're all signed up. Mark is absolutely 100% raring to go. I know Tom is signed up. I know Davey is signed up. So let's see what happens with the lads. You'll see them in their South Coast colours. What was actually a huge advantage in the swim, because I was, those who'd follow me on Instagram there, I was live streaming them as they were on each leg, as I could get within reach of them. And, you know, in a wetsuit, everybody looks like a black swimmer, so it's very hard to identify one from the other. But the South Coast tri suits with their bright pink made it easy to spot them 200 metres back down as they were approaching, even on the swim. So I was able to get some good video footage of them. That'll be the case. Not that they'll be swimming without wetsuits in Youghal, but that, when they are out on the roads, you know, on the bike and on the run, all the Youghal athletes will be very easy to spot. Their tri suits are very, very obvious when you see them coming, and I just know the whole town will be looking out for them. So
yeah, we sure will, John. We're well used to them famous colours now at this stage. And look, once again, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and talk about everything that's going on. And as I said, look, we're all so excited about the next couple of weeks, and no doubt we'll catch up again before the big event.
Absolutely, Barry, thanks for your time.